This is Barbara Ridenour returning with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated 2/12/2016. We'll continue with the obituaries. Decatur. Bruce David Gentry, 57, of Decatur, died Wednesday, February 10th, 2016. Honoring Bruce David Gentry's wishes, cremation service will be provided by the Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Decatur. No services are planned at this time. Please view the online obituary. Earl Edwin Lugton, 85, of Decatur, died Tuesday, February 9th. Funeral services for Earl will be held at 1 p.m. Saturday, February 13th, at Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday, before the service at the funeral home. Burial with military honors will be in Graceland Cemetery. Memorials may be directed to the Alzheimer's Association in Springfield. In memory of Earl Lutkin, for Walk to End Alzheimer's. Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home of Decatur is in charge of services. Helen Ruth Cohen, 80, of Arthur, died on Thursday, February 11th, 2016. Visitation will be from 2 to 4 p.m. and from 6 to 8 p.m. on Saturday, February 13th, at the Prairie Mennonite Church in Arthur. Funeral services will be held at 10:15 a.m. on Sunday, February 14th, 2016, at the Prairie Mennonite Church in Arthur. Kim Christine Smith, 58, of North Canton, Ohio, formerly of Decatur, died Tuesday, February 9th, 2016. The family will receive friends on Sunday, February 14th, in North Canton from 1 to 3 p.m. with a memorial service to follow at 3 p.m. Additional memorial services will be held at a later date in Decatur and Topeka, Kansas. In lieu of flowers, Kim would ask you not to vote for Hillary Clinton. In addition, donations may be made to in her name to the V Foundation, Pet Finder, St. Jude, or the Altman Foundation. Reed Funeral Home of North Canton is in charge of the services. Now we'll turn to the opinion page and continue with letters to the editor. Fans need to control their behavior better. As a longtime multisports official, I read Gary Sawyer's column on February 7th entitled "Fans Improve Your Behavior" and totally agree with it. Fans seem to get worse every year. Yes, we as officials do make mistakes sometimes. We try our best every game. There are some refs working games who shouldn't be doing it. Most of us are hard-working people who try our best. I personally challenge any fan who has ever yelled at an official to file your application, pay your fee, get your license, and you do the job if you think you can do it. Most of you wouldn't last one season. This is why you don't see too many young officials. They just don't want to put up with the garbage they get from fans who don't understand the game or the rules. It's up to the schools to do a better job of fan control, to coaches to control themselves, and the officials to learn and apply the rules correctly. Signed, Barry Burnett of Arthur. Editorial. Council should investigate firing of chief. In Decatur's form of government, the city manager undoubtedly has the right to hire and fire department heads. Still, the council should look deeper into the firing of Brad Sweeney as police chief last week. One of the council's jobs is to ensure the city is operating ethically, efficiently, and effectively. In an exclusive story released Wednesday afternoon, Sweeney said he was fired after refusing to publicly support a gas tax being considered by the council and offering alternative revenue ideas. Sweeney said he and city manager Tim Gleason have had a strained relationship. Sweeney said he reluctantly agreed to have a police officer in a squad car drive Gleason to the St. Louis airport in May. Sweeney said he also objected after the fact when police officers were asked to remove a speaker during a council meeting. Gleason said Sweeney's allegations that he ordered the use of police vehicle for personal use and asked Sweeney to speak at a council meeting in favor of his tax plan are absolute lies. I can't speak to the specifics of this personnel matter, Gleason said. Brad Sweeney is aware of the reasons he was terminated and acknowledged them. Someone isn't telling the truth. The firing doesn't make sense on several fronts. First, Sweeney was popular and apparently a capable police chief. He was instrumental in working with the community and had made changes in the police department that were well accepted. If performance of his job were an issue, it wasn't apparent to the community. Second, it would be odd for the police chief to testify in favor of a gas tax to improve the city's roads. The council has already all but approved the tax, and it would seem the chief's testimony wouldn't be relevant or necessary. If that's an issue, one has to wonder why. Certainly there is room on the city staff for differences of opinion. Finally, what we know doesn't seem to add up to a fireable offense. Admittedly, we may not know all of the details, but what we've heard so far doesn't seem to warrant dismissal. It's worth noting that using a squad car to deliver anyone to the St. Louis airport is a misuse of city property. There seems to be some dispute over who ordered the squad car into use, but it was a poor decision and Sweeney was right to say it shouldn't happen again. The ride should have never been offered or accepted. Although the city council may feel compelled to take a hands-off approach to this issue, that would be a mistake. Above all else, the council needs to assure itself and its residents that city government is operating ethically, efficiently, and effectively. If that's not happening, steps need to be taken. The council hires a city manager to operate the city, and the manager is given a lot of latitude to perform his duties. But the council, which represents the public, is still in charge and has every right to find out what really happened in this instance. Social media not going away. Dave Dawson. Not that I begrudge people who eschew technology, but I find it comical when people rant about new gadgets and social media without taking the time to find out more about them. I will admit, there are times when I wish I wasn't so tired of technology. When I first got my cell phone in 1997, it might as well have been a paperweight. It was almost always off and usually needed a charge. It could make phone calls, but most of us were scared to death we might make a call outside the area and the dreaded roaming charge would kick in. Over the years, I became friendlier with my phone. I actually started to use it, kept it charged, and figured out how to use voicemail. With each upgrade, the phone could do more. I finally bought a BlackBerry, and I was hooked on the smartphone concept. I loved the BlackBerry, but it became a victim of not keeping up with the times, so I became an iPhone user. Yes, I'm guilty of texting too much and reading email on my phone, but I strive to keep any use somewhat under control. A majority of my phone use is work-related, which brings me to social media. I see the bad things that can happen with social media, Twitter in particular. It's easy to have an anonymous account and tweet as much inappropriate and offensive material as you can dream up and not fear repercussions. Despite this drawback, Twitter is an invaluable resource for the news industry and the Herald and Review. Almost every reporter and editor here has a Twitter account. Find me at Cyclones100. That's the @ Cyclones100. We use Twitter to report breaking news, send out interesting stories from our newsroom, and report stories incrementally. If you think writing a 140-character tweet is easy, then try it sometime. I find the challenge of getting a message across in a few words invigorating. It gives my brain a different way to think while trying to condense the message. Some people are naturals. I marvel at the ability of reporter Allison Petty at Allison0512 and executive sports editor Mark Tupper at Mark Tupper to tweet information while reporting, yet coming up with a story that includes all the necessary elements. Facebook is another animal. There is no limit on length, frequency, or subject matter. It is true, some people have no self-control on Facebook. I have had my fill of memes, game invitations, and statuses that are shared only to gain sympathy. Some people are obsessed with posting food photos while others have endless selfies. I don't treat Facebook that way. I try not to post every thought that has ever come into my head. I avoid politics, religion, and any other subject that could start an ugly argument. I post things mostly to amuse myself and maybe two or three other people. If I can make them chuckle, my work is done. Those who think that Facebook and Twitter have eliminated personal contact are misguided. I know virtually all of my Facebook friends and see the ones who live in Central Illinois all the time. When we meet, we still have things to talk about. Many other of my Facebook friends are past colleagues and old classmates who I never would be in touch with if it were not for Facebook. As much as I like a well-composed letter, I don't have time to write everyone. The beauty of social media is if it annoys you, offends you, or otherwise makes you angry, you can ignore it. But you might as well embrace it because it's not going away. In the money section, educators' businesses address workforce needs. Collaboration builds better workforce. Excuse me. Effingham. Greg Reynolds has seen the culture change at Shelbyville High School with a shift in the way vocational classes have been taught in the past decade. School officials and local employers have worked together to figure out what students most need to be prepared to enter the workforce, said Reynolds, an industrial technology teacher. The collaboration is paying off. The payoff is when they go into a manufacturing environment ready to go to work, Reynolds said. Everything we do is geared toward the student coming out of high school and going into a manufacturing environment. Reynolds and Principal Rich Stewart were among the speakers Thursday during the East Central Illinois Development Corporation Manufacturing Roundtable at the Thelma Keller Convention Center in Effingham. Shelbyville students are learning various aspects of what it's like to work in a manufacturing setting, Stewart said. It matters that they can also be happy with what they're doing, Stewart said. It's helping the kids realize they have value. They're learning what it's like to be in a business setting. Employers and educators working together is part of what will help to close a skills gap across the nation, said Robert Sheets, a research professor at the George Washington University Institute of Public Policy. The workforce has become a top priority for employers in all areas of the country, Sheets said. Everywhere we go, employers say that they have a mismatch with what they need to be competitive and what they're getting in the workforce, Sheets said. It's got to start with employers addressing their common needs. AgriFab has found value in working with students from Sullivan and Okaw Valley, said Curtis Bunfill, the company's business systems and continuous improvement manager. The quality of students is really amazing, Bunfill said. I don't know how you measure that. It has been fantastic for us. Sullivan Senior Preston Nunnemaker wants to learn more about welding at Lakeland College while continuing to work for AgriFab, where he started last summer in the paint and welding departments. He feels well prepared from his experience working for the company. We'll see where it takes me, Nunnemaker said. I was interested to work in a factory to learn a manufacturing skill set. Bunfill sees what is being done to train the workforce as a benefit to businesses, schools, and communities, So he said AgriFab is committed to support the training of students in the long term. On Biz, Port Royal Gastropub, Vision Source of Macon County, Booty General Store Antiques, and Great Clips. The Port Royal Gastropub is working hard to deliver a big city dining and entertainment experience in Decatur. Businessman Nacy Kildes took over a former cafe business and created the Gastropub in May at 2880 North Oakland Avenue. Kildes, who has a home in Naperville, says he wanted to take things upmarket with better quality food tied in with well-stocked beer. His theme was the kind of specialty pubs found in places like Chicago, where good food is available late at night and entertainment is on tap, too. He said turning things into a new direction has taken time, but he's making progress. It's picking up slowly, it's getting better, doing well, climbing up, he added. The Gastro Pub features live jazz Thursdays and karaoke Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday nights, alternating occasionally on Saturday with live bands covering a broad range of musical tastes. The idea is to have good food whenever you want it, that you can order while you're dancing. You don't have to leave to eat at Steak and Shake or Perkins, Kildes said. The Port Royal Gastropub is open daily from 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. Call 217-875-2746. That's 875-2746. Or check it out on Facebook. That's Port Royal Gastropub. The optometry practice of Drs. Murphy and Miller in Decatur has changed its name to Vision Source of Macon County. The change comes as Dr. C. Michael Murphy retires after nearly 40 years in business. Murphy established the practice in February 1976 and transferred ownership of the practice located at 2475 North Monroe Street in December. Vision Source of Macon County will continue to provide quality eye care to the community and is a member of Vision Source, the largest network of private practiced optometrists in North America. As Murphy retires, Dr. Robert Smith has joined the practice. After a period of working alongside Dr. Smith, it has been easier to step back, confident that I'm leaving my patients in good hands, Murphy said. Smith practiced in Southern Illinois for 8 years prior to coming to Decatur. During that time, he provided general eye examinations, surgical preoperative and postoperative care, and management of eye disease such as glaucoma, macular degeneration, and diabetes. We look forward to continuing the great tradition of excellent vision care that patients in Decatur have come to expect, Smith said. The same friendly staff you have come to know are still available to serve your eye care needs at 2475 North Monroe. Hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. The new website is www.visionsource-maconcounty.com. That's visionsource-maconcounty.com. Call 217-875-5900. That's 875-5900. Booty now has its own antique store. Booty General Store Antiques opened a week ago on South Illinois 48, across the highway from the post office. It took the family running the new business a year to remodel a former home and turn it into an emporium stocked with furniture, vintage advertising, toys, and a large selection of primitives. We've got large wooden bowls, and we've even got a grease barrel that was used to grease the wheels on covered wagons, said Debbie Strievel. She owns the business along with her husband Greg and their daughter Samantha Nakmas and her husband Brad. Debbie Strievel and her husband Debbie Strefel said her husband has been a long-time antiques collector, and he hooked her into the passion. And then our daughter became a collector, kind of by default, and we all decided we needed to share a love of antiques and create a nice antique store for people to come to, she added. Booty General Store Antiques is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Wednesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday, and then it's back to 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday. Call 217-454-4736. That's 454-4736. It will stage its official opening on the weekend of February 20th and 21st, with refreshments and door prizes both days. A Great Clip store has opened at 4655 East Maryland Street, next to the Walmart on Decatur's east side. Hours are 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, and 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Sunday. Call 217-864-0300. That's 864-0300. Milliken's Magic Pinafore adapts Gilbert and Sullivan. Decatur. Gilbert and Sullivan were known for their light-hearted musicals and operettas, but the director of Milliken University's production of The Magic Pinafore gives this new show a modern touch to the old classics. The new operetta will have four performances Thursday through Sunday, February 18th through the 21st, at the Albert Taylor Theater in Milliken University's Schilling Hall. The story was created by the show's director, Terry Stone. We have borrowed tunes and some of the lyrics from the big three of Gilbert and Sullivan's operettas that lots of people know, he said. The Mikado, HMS Pinafore, and Pirates of Penzance are the main stories Stone used to create the lighthearted show. Anyone who attends is going to hear some music they are familiar with, he said. According to Philip Lopez, who performs the part of the villain Chairman Mort DeValue, the music is easily accessible. It is still in the classical vocal tradition, he said, but it's not like the grand opera chorus. The creators altered some of the text in a song to make it fit the newly created story. The music and the mood incorporate the sword and sorcery myths popular in current story trends. We modernized it a little bit, Stone said. They don't have wands, they have wand phones. Similar to the Gilbert and Sullivan style, the show makes fun of serious operas. That's why we call it The Magic Pinafore, because it also has some wordplay and a few notes from Mozart's Magic Flute, Stone said. It is good for someone who might not even have ever been to an opera, said Amy Mazzio. Mazzio will be on stage as Nymph O'Goodlove, or Queen of the Nightlife. She has performed in other Gilbert and Sullivan productions and understands what to bring to the show. It makes fun of the big, fancy operas, she said. The storyline also makes fun of academia. The setting is placed in the College of Sorcery. The administrators of the school aren't bringing in enough revenue. This secret lies within the magic pinafore, which no one knows. The music is as authentic to the original scores as possible. With the limited amount of space available in the Albert Taylor Theater, the musicians are limited to a 16-piece chamber orchestra. The only thing missing is the horns and a few percussion, said William Gorton, Milliken Assistant Professor of Voice and Opera. If you go, it's The Magic Pinafore. It's at 7:30 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, February 18th through the 20th, 2 p.m. on Sunday, February 21st. It's at the Albert Taylor Theater, Schilling Hall at Milliken University. The cost is $14 to $4. Or check out www.milliken.edu/events. Milliken student teacher in two-man show. For the first time in more than a decade, a Millikan University professor and student will take the stage together in a formal production this weekend. Senior Ryan Reed Hickey said he first approached Associate Professor Alex Miller more than a year ago with the idea to perform Red, a Tony Award-winning two-man show. Miller portrays artist Mark Rothko, and Hickory plays his assistant Ken. They are directed by senior Joseph Bezenek, who is incorporating the project as part of his work as a James Millikan scholar. What's more, the play will help fund a passion project of Miller's, the Shakespeare Corrected program, in which women at the Decatur Correctional Center stage Shakespeare plays. Miller started the program 5 years ago and has taken a sabbatical this semester to work on turning it into a nonprofit. It wasn't going to happen unless we decided we were going to do it, Bezenek said. Now, all of a sudden, there's going to be hundreds of people seeing a show that hopefully changes them in a better way, in some way, shape, or form. And if not, it's going to change other people's lives at the correctional facility. It's just beautiful that we're able to use these skills before we've even left Millikan with so much heart. The preparation is reminiscent of what the student actors are likely to face as their careers continue. Longer rehearsals, 5 hours, over a shorter period of time, less than a month. Hickey and Bezenek describe the intense rehearsal process as positive, collaborative experience. It's a good simulation of having a day job and then having to go and do rehearsals and keep it all afloat, Hickey said. Is it intimidating to act alongside one's acting teacher? Maybe at first, but Hickey said he loosened up quickly. You know, I think fear breeds good work, he said. The teacher-student dynamic fits nicely with the characters' interactions, too. There's a portion of the show that is very relatable, as being a second-semester senior and kind of saying goodbye to the people that have taught me the last 3.5 years. Miller, who described the production as a labor of love, said he enjoys the challenge of portraying someone who's not completely fictional. This was a real living human being, and the amount of research required for that was a nice challenge. It's a nice breath of fresh air for me, he said. The project has attracted volunteers from across the Millikan campus. Sophomore Andy Burns is serving as stage manager, and other students helped in various ways. Multiple other Millikan faculty members pledged assistance in their areas of expertise, from hanging large paintings to supervising lighting to help choreograph the actor's movement. It's incredible. I think in some way or another, almost every single professor has helped in some way. Or I've been like, can you meet at this time just because of rehearsals? And they're like, oh yes, absolutely. Let me help in any way I can, Hickey said. Lyle Salmi, associate professor and chair of the art department, decided to get his painting class involved by asking students to paint their own versions of Rothko's portrait. The pieces, featuring the same subject in each student's individual style, will hang in the Pipe Dreams lobby. Red doesn't contain romantic themes, but the actors and directors say it could still make for a good date, especially if you're seeking a good conversation afterward. There's romance and a different sort of passion. That's just the passion for art, being a human being, Bezenek said. What's beautiful is it can relate to anybody. It doesn't matter if you're a painter. That does not matter at all. The play will serve as the first formal fundraiser for the Shakespeare Corrected program, which Miller began in 2011 after learning about similar efforts in other prisons. This year, 22 offenders are staging Much Ado About Nothing, which they will perform in April. Women who have taken part speak about gaining confidence, building camaraderie with fellow actors, and finding life lessons in timeless works. Miller said the program's growth has made it difficult for him to volunteer as much time as necessary at the prison. Fundraising will go in part toward paying Dana Anderson, a Millikan graduate who has previously worked with the program, to assume a larger role. Miller ultimately hopes to expand further, noting that the concept should be helpful to community groups such as those that work with at-risk youth. The word is getting out. The program is growing, he said. I have big dreams for the program to continue not just in DCC, but also in Decatur as a whole. There are very few limitations with what we can do to help the community and the ladies once they leave the Decatur Correctional Center. And if you go, it's the play Red at 7:30 p.m. today, 3 and 7:30 p.m. on Saturday, February 13th, 3 p.m. on Sunday, February 14th. It's at the Pipe Dream Studio Theater, $9 cash at the door. Reserve tickets by emailing aburns@millikan.edu. That's aburns, A-B-U-R-N-S, @millikan.edu.